Attention students, the Jabroni University Network is now in session. Please make your way to class.
What is that?
The future of radio, you jabronis.
Coming to you from fabulous Studio B Plus in Bradenton, Florida. It's New Jabroni Pro Wrestling with me, Daniel Salorzno, and Bonesaw Ryan Rundick.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it's a... I'm going to be straight up with you. We're going to talk about round one of New Japan Cup, and that'll probably take about 10 or 15 or 20 minutes, maybe. And then we're going to talk about Akira Toriyama. Because, man, it's been 5 days in a row and Twitter is still talking about it. Everyone forgets about stuff like the next minute on Twitter. So it's been real, real crazy, some of the things we've been seeing. So I'm pretty bummed about it.
Yeah, good on you for not playing the sound effect.
Yeah.
That's a loss. Super still cooking, man.
Yeah, it's raining in the background on my desktop gym.
Summer.
Yeah, and the guy's half drunk at a ramen bar in the middle of the night. It looks like so. Here we go. All right, let's we'll hop into it. And I didn't even pull up the schedule for what's coming. It's actually, the schedule is printed on the brackets, so
yeah, they make it easy for you.
Yeah, nice and easy.
They're thinking.
For news and content updates, be sure to follow us on Instagram at JU Wrestling and of course at JUW.fireside.fm. If you want merch, head over to our Threadless store at JabroniU.threadless.com. If you're familiar with the website known as Linktree, you go to linktr.ee/JU Wrestling. That'll just give you all the links you need. And, subscribe to the podcast, you know, then we don't have to keep telling you this at the beginning of the show, but we do have to do it.
We will, because we like to.
Yeah. And, give us Bonesaw and Daniel's patented 5-star rating. We use a new rating system where 5 is better than 4. You know, go figure.
And then there is no greater than 5.
Yeah.
It's a ceiling for a reason. It's a maximum.
Yeah. I mean, unless it's better than the best. Macho King, Randy Savage.
There you go. Rising to the top.
Yeah. Bookmark us on Instagram or you email us at jabroniwrestling@gmail.com. There's links. Just go to Linktree. There's links for everything. Okay, so this is the first round went fine. There was, you know, three matches each night on account of all the bye rounds, and some predictions were made that, you know, made a lot of good sense and they came true. And then there was a lot of predictions that were made without going, you know what? I forgot that House of Torture is a thing. Like it's for Evil, you go, well, yeah, of course, he's going to have the full might of House of Torture behind him. But then you forget
Dick Togo, Reign Supreme.
Yeah. Then you forget Ren Narita is in House of Torture. You also, maybe you may forget something to the effect of like, oh, I don't know, maybe House of Torture inducts a new member.
They grab Jack Perry for no reason.
Yeah.
But it's great.
He's flourishing, though. I don't think we saw this in the first round, but that goat mask that he's toting around in the second round looks real cool. Because he's the scapegoat.
It is a creepy mask.
But that armband...
It looks damp.
The armband confuses me, though, because it's like... you wear a black armband when somebody dies. You're making me think the scapegoat's dead and we're wrestling in his honor. He's the scapegoat. Wear a t-shirt.
He's a scapegoat.
That's silly.
Zing of the day.
I think there was that. There were some things that made sense and did happen. There are some things that happened that in retrospect makes sense. That being, you know, Ren Narita beating Taichi, which I think everyone wanted Taichi and Zack to have that little reunion fight or whatever.
Yeah, too soon in the bracket. We should have seen it coming. It was too early to give us that. That's a main event draw.
Chase Owens beat Ishii in a match that had no business being as good as it was, and you know we can say a lot of that is on Ishii's explosiveness, but that match was a. They went at it for a hot minute too. I was like,
yeah.
I started looking up and I was like, what is happening? I'm very invested right now.
Yeah, so, I mean, Chase Owens has fight in him sometimes, and when he brings it, he's not bad. Like people give him a lot of crap, but not. He can turn it on. He can turn it on. And Ishii does it. You know. Then there's that and the allegations.
Yeah, I think we said it pretty fairly during G1 Climax. Like, he was wrestling a very specific, very good brand of wrestling.
Yeah.
And he just sort of brought that into the Ishii context, and they're like, yeah, let's scrap.
That's a good foundation for anything.
Yeah, this is the first round, but let's fight for it.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised Tongaloa beat Great O'Khan.
That was a huge surprise.
Yeah.
Tongaloa is supposed to just be filler.
Yeah.
United Empire needs some love, man. Like Great O'Khan's got to be able to step up and be kind of a leader. You can't give him a loss in the first round of Tongaloa.
Supposedly TJP's taken the helm as leader.
Yeah, I saw he said he's the captain. And is that a
he could just be talking. Who knows?
Could just be talking. Is it a full on? I'm the man, or is it just like I'm gonna set the example like Will? Because he kind of does say like Will did. So same style where it's still just like by example, not really a leader.
Like Great O'Khan.
By the way, it's not Great O'Khan because Great O'Khan lost to. to Tongaloa.
Yeah,
and no leader can do that.
It's not Jeff Cobb either. I mean, everyone in United Empire is out already.
Yeah, no, that kind of sucks. I didn't look at it like that.
You know, with TJP, that he was obviously doomed to not win against David Finlay. Tsuji beating Jeff Cobb was an incredible upset. Yeah, and which is
no
also
way.
Crazy too, because Cobb was,
you know, I called that one.
Cobb was just chucking him around like nobody's business.
Ooh, yeah.
and that was good. That was a great match with a surprising finish. And we go, okay, yeah, that happened. I don't know how we didn't see Ren Narita cheating his way
that
to
was,
victory past Taichi,
yeah.
denying
yeah.
us of what everyone clearly wanted.
It's Evil Junior.
You know,
so he's got his own bracket to run wild in.
Sometimes I wonder if a proper booker goes, oh man, everyone would love to see this. I'm going to do the exact opposite. I'm going to make it seem like it's so possible and snatch it away because it's not the time for it yet.
Right. We should have known.
And that was that. What was the name of that? What was the name of that bracket? It was the last.
That was the.
Yes, the Clubber Lang bracket.
It's the Clubber Lang bracket. Yeah, Clubber Lang.
Yeah, it's Phantasma won over Mikey Nichols. That's, you know, we saw that coming. So now, so now we end up with Phantasma versus Yota Tsuji.
That'll be cool.
I still want to see ELP take on Zack Sabre Jr. though.
Yeah, but he's not going to. Yoda's going to win that one. You know this, man.
It's all right. I'm confident El Fantasma will make it to the second round. To the third round. Gabe Kidd beat Callum Newman. No surprise there.
And yeah, that was a good match. I like that one. God, Gabe Kidd just got good energy, man. He's fantastic.
Yeah, he's so
dialed in as a crazy madman.
Yeah, it's wonderful, and can I just say how delightful it's been to have Gino on commentary.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, hey, we already touched on his match, so I missed the opportunity. But hey, join me in a rousing round of "It's Chase Owens' birthday. Happy birthday, Mr. Owens. You're 21 and you're beautiful. Happy birthday, Chase Owens."
I think we could have just done an entire show about funny things that Gino said. And including his various comments about his Mount Rushmore of Japanese professional wrestling, to which he goes on a glowing review of Chase Owens, and Walker Stewart goes, "Wait a second, Chase Owens is your lone person on the Mount Rushmore of Japanese wrestling?" He's like, "He's that good."
Oh, what a treasure.
Meanwhile, he's making Instagram posts, him and Chris and Walker. So, like, Kevin looks like shit. God.
He's good to be back.
Yeah, I'm just a little bit sad that Chris hasn't been here for any of these shows, sad because it gives Gino a purpose to be like, "Nah, I'm gonna make everything out of my mouth count." But you actually get to see that he is probably the greatest second person in a two-person commentary team since probably Jerry the King Lawler, in terms of he brings the funny stuff that he says is all funny, but like he brings actual valid wrestler commentary into the mix, and looking the other way about all the very problematic things that he said about little people at all. Well,
barring all that.
Yeah, if I were going to only have two people, I would want the second person to be him, and I think he and Walker are, getting to have this little tour of working together, and it's fun.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's, yeah. You're right. It's not just the funny stuff. He brings good insight, and he's got a good voice. Some people got good voices, and they're just fun to listen to. He's got one of those. So
it's like if we were Australian, I feel like we would find his voice to be funny.
Yeah, or not even funny, but at the very least, just it's a rich voice. It's captivating. It's meant to be delivering words into my ears. Yeah. So everything sounds good. I accidentally, because when I turn it on the Fire Stick, it sticks on Japanese commentary by default, and I just kind of wasn't paying good enough attention, and I just could let it stay on that for like a match or two. I'm like, okay, no, I gotta go back. And as soon as I go back, it was Ren, Narita, and Taichi. On one of the lines, "One of the chairs broke and Red's bringing them a new one. That doesn't make any sense." Oh, look, he left it for him, didn't he? I'm like, oh yeah, no, I shouldn't have ever given a time without Gino. I missed two good matches, I'm sure. Oh, man, he's amazing.
Yeah, I think so he also said something to the effect of, "Oh, Taichi putting on a terrible display for this by taking the match into the crowd of people," or whatever, when Red had clearly like ran him out there and started beating the crap out of him. it's just
good. Wonderful.
Yeah, Bolton Oleg, I can't believe it. He didn't beat Hikuleo.
Yeah, no, it's too soon. You can't chop down your biggest guy like that. But he's big and sturdy looking, man. He's youthful exuberance, Mr. Oleg.
Yeah, Ichiban, meat boy.
He's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see him for the future. And then past that, yeah, just a big shock with Perry joining House of Torture, but also it just makes me go, oh yes.
Yeah. No, I had him winning just because, you know, it's too, you can't come all the way and just get knocked out in the first round. But I don't know, I did not imagine it was gonna be House of Torture doing the dirty work, but excellent.
No, I think what we should have done is we should have said it is a fact that Jack Perry and Sonata are gonna rematch up in this. What kind of mental gymnastics do we have to do to make that happen? And then I think we could have been like, maybe House of Torture picks up Jack Perry for no apparent reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I got to that conclusion without meaning to or realizing that I did, that it would be the rematch. Whoopsie.
Yeah, so...
didn't even think of that.
For round...
because it's the only time the IWGP heavyweight title has been defended and not at the main event. It was a mid-card match.
Oh my god. I like, it broke my heart for him to factually say the longest reigning IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. I was and they kept saying it over. I was like, I hate that. It's cursed. It's a cursed statistic.
No. We must wrench it from our memories.
So for round 2, and there's already four of these matches have already happened already by the time you're listening to this, but it's okay. Sonata is going to take on Yoshihashi. Not Shota. I have to actually look at the people who won. Jack Perry's taking on Toru Yano, and yeah, I wonder who's going to win that one. Then we got Finley taking on Tongaloa, and that's going to be too easy.
Oh, too sweet.
Yeah, okay. Maybe it's
House of Torture.
Maybe it saves. Maybe it saves Great O'Connor in a way to, you know, lose in the first man. Tongalo has been wrestling like butt.
Oh god! I know. I saw a clip of him trying to 619. In this upcoming match, he does not succeed.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. And then somebody reposted something that NJPW Global posted. He basically gave. I think he gave Gato a V-trigger,
mm-hmm.
And it was so bad. And the person's like, why did they post this?
Funny. I got to find that one.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Look, I supersize with Tongaloa, okay? Because... you know, he may be like me in that person or in that way of like, you're going to get a little bit of slop. It's not, it's never, it's never going to be perfect. And there's always going to be one big, just glaring slop, but heart's in it. I don't know.
Trying. It takes guts to try.
Yeah. You should not try to do a 619 anymore.
That's something you should. I don't think he ever tried it before. Like, so why now? I don't recall that being in his moveset.
Yeah, you know what? But also, I mean, if I'm Tongaloa at this point, I'd just be like, try any. You know what? Yeah, I rescind my previous statement. Try whatever you want to. It's fine.
I guess. Sure, but you might get clipped.
Look, if you feel like,
and then get posted.
If you feel like you are stuck in a spot and you need to start doing things to get yourself out of that spot, by all means, do all the experimenting you want to. It's fine. But you might get clipped. So we'll see. It's just strange because as a tag team, there's no complaints. But then also, you know, it wasn't the best thing in G1 Climax, so
No, it was not.
Also, didn't he just get over an injury? I don't know. Whatever.
Let's yeah, that's the, that's the thing. That's why I was excusing it. Yeah, it's all it all makes sense, but just like, don't put yourself in your best spot to succeed. It's trying to 619, probably, isn't it?
No, I'm backpedaling because if he ever heard this, I would feel really bad. I'm gonna double down. You're wrestling like butt. Stop messing up. Don't do 619s anymore.
Just do that. Just do that. Ugh.
And yeah, so there's that. Who? Yeah, Tongalo is taking on David Finlay. Chase is taking on Goto. I still think Goto's gonna win that.
Yeah, no, I think so too. Now, I mean, I still think so. I guess.
No,
shoot, I don't want that though.
Yeah,
I had my logic, but I got ruined because Kenta lost.
Yeah, but then you said only one of them needs to win so that they can go, well, mm-hmm. I can get my blah, blah, blah. I think they're both going to lose. And then it's all just right, like, they can't back out of it.
It's obvious they're not a good choice for champions.
This is my one qualm. This is my one qualm with Goto.
Mm-hmm.
His dad just died. Okay. And he is essentially has said the words, I am going to honor him by winning the New Japan Cup.
Oh boy.
And it's, don't say that unless you're going to win the New Japan Cup.
Right? That's not fair to anybody.
Right. However, fine, if he hated his father for some reason, that's pretty funny. I'm gonna win this one for you, Dad. Nah, I'm going down to Chase Owens. I'm going down to Chase Owens in my first round. I gotta buy. I'm only wrestling one round. I'm going down. Suck it, old man from beyond the grave.
Which I'm sure we assume is the most likely outcome or circumstances.
Cause also again, like I don't want to see a sad, dejected man berating himself for failing someone when he put himself into a position to deliver on an impossible promise. And then it's like,
he shared that burden with all of us.
Right. Like you may want to win it, but we all know this is predetermined. Like, I don't know. It just seems like you're emotionally abusing yourself. I just feel bad. Like,
now I'm hoping he gets the win. I hope he gets the win and they get those belts back.
I'll say this. If we, if we get out of the Clubber Lang bracket and, Suji and El Phantasmo, and then Ren Narita. If Ren Narita makes it all the way to the end of the Clubber Lang bracket, although, there's also the far more likely possibility that Evil would make it all the way to the end, then it's okay. Like then if Goto got to the end somehow, like gets a win over Finlay, then like, okay, I don't know what the reason for wanting Goto to win the New Japan Cup is. Other than I would be like, well, I would never guess that in a billion years.
I think that's the only possible reasoning.
I would never.
I don't think we have to worry about that too
in
much.
A billion years. But also, like, I don't know. Maybe him. Maybe Gato is one of his oldest and truest friends. Like, I'll let you win New Japan Cup this year for your dad.
Hmm. I can't believe it. Not with that beard. He's evil. Not with that Kangle. That's not rebel enough for him.
Yeah, he would instead scream a string of expletives at him. I'm certain about it. Yeah. Then Evil's taking on Hikaleo, which that's an easy win because he's evil. Yeah,
he is.
Shingo's taking on Gabe Kidd, and
that'll be tremendous. And his match, that match with Yuya was awesome too. I think that's my favorite match in the first round.
Yeah, Shingo and Yuya.
Yeah, that match was really good. Shingo, sneaky techers.
Yeah,
he's crafty.
Yeah, Phantasmo hit Nichols with a little sneaky roll up too.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
I think Tsuji and Cobb was maybe my favorite one out of the first round.
Yeah, I like that one too. That one was pretty good.
Certainly in the bracket, the pick up the phone bracket. I mean, mm-hmm. TJP tried his best, but ultimately it's a two man dance. We know how you, Bonesaw, feel about David Finley. Leave me out of this. I'm on Finley's side. Anyone who may be listening,
I'm opening up. I'm opening up in a very slow evil like fashion. I've come to appreciate more.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah,
I really don't have any room to make any sort of criticisms about the matches because I had them all on in the background, really. except for Tongaloa. Stop wrestling my butt.
So did you get to see when Yano hit the double bell ringer?
Yeah,
I did. Miraculous victory.
Yeah,
okay. As long as you saw that, because that's been the highlight by a mile.
Yes, Gabe Kidd and Shingo is gonna be good, and El Phantasmo and Cobb will be good. And then Narita and Zack Sabre Jr. So there's pretty sure Zack Sabre Jr. is going to. I don't think a lot of people are foiling Zack Sabre Jr. at this point. I don't think anyone's foiling Zack Sabre Jr. except for Naito. And it's almost time for that to be done. He needs that win over Naito.
Yeah. Isn't Phantasmo fighting Tsuji? Didn't Tsuji win that match?
Yeah, I have Cobb written down. I have Tsuji written on the path. My B.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, just making sure I'm not crazy because I fall asleep sometimes.
Tsuji and El Phantasmo would be fun. We haven't seen that match.
I think so very much.
And I guess last thing that I have to say about any of this is, man, that crowd was going absolutely bonkers for Cobb and Tsuji, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was the one in Ihime. That the floor was just rumbling the whole time.
Yeah.
And when Tsuji got the win, like all you could hear was just
man, he's popular. It's crazy.
Yeah, but I mean also like I will say a couple of things for that match. One, Cobb trying to hit a Rainmaker on him just I love how brazen that is.
Jeff Cobb's great.
Yeah, and then two, we'll make this three. Cobb hit the spear on Tsuji and didn't get the win, and that crowd went nuts because it really felt like, oh, you're gonna beat him with his own move. And then he hit him, and Cobb jumped up in that thing and hit it so good it made Tsuji look like he could knock down a building. It was amazing.
that is 100% accurate,
especially since that's essentially what he did.
Yeah, this is what it looks like.
So that was That's round one.
I want to add one more thing.
Add something else,
and,
baby.
And that is that Yoshihashi comes out looking like a turtle. It's very funny. I'm going to laugh every time.
Goodness.
I also, you know, we completely skipped over it. I don't know how we didn't realize it was a Bochan match too. Like reunion.
Yeah.
That wasn't played up enough.
Yeah, I think it's just because it was one of the earlier matches, and then
I think we just forgot. I think we're slipping.
Well, this is the same night that Perry got inducted into.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Into Bullet Club. So
there was a lot going on for us to to pick up on that we didn't at all.
Yeah, it's but it was fine. It was just Bochon.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to talking about Akira Toriyama.
Mm.
So I want to talk about him. Yep, bummed out.
Yeah, that sucks. What was he, 68? Was that it?
Yeah, and so it was recently revealed that he had a brain tumor, mm-hmm. which is what caused, I'm assuming that's what caused the subdural hematoma
mm-hmm.
that did him in. And it's a conversation that is being had is the working conditions for the mangaka.
Mm-hmm.
In that they're like, these guys are sleeping, in some cases, 3 hours a day to push out a whole chapter, like, every mm-hmm. week. Which is insane. But I will parlay that information into a bit of drawing techers that Akira Toriyama had. So he came up with the idea for the Super Saiyan thing because mm-hmm. he was tired of inking in Goku's hair. And since they're blonde, like yeah. all he has to do is just do the outline. And it's like, okay, every time I draw this guy, now I don't have to spend an additional 2 hours inking his freaking hair. And it's just like, man, I love it.
Yeah, but now you got to draw the glow too. So whatever you're missing out on hair is now expended in radiant aura.
Yeah, but that's just some squiggles.
I guess so. What do I know about inking?
Yeah, he's a tracer.
He's a tracer. Right, thank you. I was searching. I'm like, what is it? What is it? What is the line? What is the insult from that?
Oh, I'll trace a chalk line around your dead body.
That's the ticket.
It is the ticket. Man, so it's time to reminisce. The first time I saw Dragon Ball Z, I happened to wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, which is something that I was not doing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this was when they first aired the Toei dub. The first mm-hmm. dub.
The
ocean dub, yeah.
I think so.
And I flipped on the TV and I started watching and I was like, what is this? And I watched it and I was intrigued. And then they're like, stay tuned next week for more Dragon Ball Z or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna stay tuned. I'm gonna make sure I get up at 8 o'clock in the morning next week. And I did that over and over and over again until they got all the way right to the part where Goku starts fighting Jason Birder. And then the next week, it went back to the first episode, which coincidentally, I just happened to catch it from the very first episode. So I had missed nothing. Yeah, if you don't count Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
But also, I do remember, you know, being like, oh, what? Like, Goku just got here, which is the best part about Dragon Ball Z. Is Goku just got back, and he's yeah. way more powerful now.
It's the best part of every Dragon Ball story.
Yeah.
What? Oh, shit. It's balanced back in our favor.
When did you pick up that show? Because I don't feel like I remember if you've told me.
I think I must have been like in fourth or fifth grade, so like 94 95, and I think I stayed over at one of my friend's house in Lakeland. I think we went back and visited and I stayed over there, and he got us up early and was like, we're watching this. And I'm like, okay. And it was probably the second Raditz episode. I think it might have been the third, because Goku might have died. So can't remember the chronology on that one. But yeah, so I watched that, and then I would try to catch it once I figured out what time it was or what channel it was at my house. And then I don't remember how I got back to, I think that's whenever UPN started putting it on. So like when we were in middle school was when I got back into it, but I didn't keep up with it like you did, it sounds like. So I caught on wherever, and yeah, again, you got to the Frieza part, and then it drops off and you restart again and you're just confused. I remember that feeling.
Yeah. And this is also like, there's no internet at this point.
Knowledge is sparse.
Yeah. Unless you are rich and you know what you're doing, there's, you know, generally not any internet at this point. And yeah, so it is confusing because you're like, I want answers, but also, well, I guess I'll just watch it over again.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they just haven't made more episodes. I'll wait. Yeah,
I'm sure they'll be back by next time I get to this point.
Yeah, and then the only thing more disappointing than the first time it happens mm-hmm. is the second time it happens.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, I can't keep doing this to myself.
Right.
But now I have, you know, I've watched the show twice and I have this thing locked in my brain where it's just like, I'd love to watch more episodes of that. And I did happen to get a taste of a little bit more when I went to Ecuador, the second time I went to Ecuador.
That's right.
Which was like right before high school, I think. So
I think so.
So yeah, so they had all that stuff dubbed in Spanish, and flipping through channels, because it's sort of like my Spanish at the time is limited. It's better. It's better now, but it's still limited. My dad would make an argument for me that I speak Spanish fluently. I don't see it.
Or it's just optimism.
Or at least the thing he does say to me is like, you've got a pretty bad accent when you speak, but your vocabulary is like 10 times what your brother's vocabulary is. I'm like, okay, that's something, I guess.
Take it.
Yeah. And it was the beginning of the Android saga. It was right when Trunks got there, and I'm like, I'm watching this episode, and I'm like, okay, he just slashed up what looked like Frieza, like, or something, and now there's this other big-looking Frieza guy, or whatever, and he's like, oh, que linda espada, like, let me look at your sword.
Oh, I bet he's got a great Spanish voice.
Oh, yeah, and then he just slices and dices him, and I'm like, oh, this rules. And then Goku gets there, and then that whole interaction that he has with Goku, where he's like, I'm gonna come at you, and he goes, okay. And then he's like, hey, why didn't you move? He's like, you weren't gonna hit me. He's like, all right, well, this time I am. And Goku just raises his finger and he's like, here we go. And yeah, it's just that whole show is predicated on, man, it's so great when Goku comes back.
It really is.
And then yeah, and that was so weird, because then it, because even still, it wasn't like for another year or two that we then started to get they did the Toonami dubs started coming out, right. And then we got more episodes that we had never seen in America before.
Yeah, thank God. Or else I would have probably gone broke buying the videotapes, because we had waited long enough.
Oh, God.
Now I had part-time job money.
Oh yeah, but that was it. It's crazy. It's crazy how much of an institution Dragon Ball Z is. Like the influence of it has, like, you can find the influence in like almost like any modern cartoon, like basically you can find it. It's crazy. Also, a question to double back. Can you list 5 things in the morning that are worth waking up early for?
Bacon, corned beef hash, Dragon Ball Z.
Okay, so I'm just going to put that under food, specific food.
I got more foods. I really like breakfast.
Yeah, what is worth waking up? Like, I'm purposely waking up because I have to wake up to do this thing and I want to do this thing and I am going to wake up for it and I'm not going to miss it.
Belgian waffles.
I'll make you some Belgian waffles, Bonesaw.
All right.
Then got the waffle iron, baby. I love making waffles.
I'm on my way.
Although you know what though, the Belgian waffles don't come out a lot because normally it's like people want pancakes. This is crazy.
That's what I always make. So I crave waffles now.
Yeah. It's really just up to me as to whether I want to get the waffle iron out, because it's just a little.
It's more work than pancakes. Pancakes are easy.
Yeah, the little flat griddle is a lot easier to grab out than the waffle iron.
Mm-hmm.
But the pancakes, I don't know what I don't know how I figured out how to do it, but they look like Denny's pancakes when my pancakes come out. Like I nailed that stuff.
And then I want your pancakes too.
Yeah, come on over. I'm hit you with some flapjacks.
Some 3 a.m. flapjacks.
Oh yeah, gotta eat me at 3 a.m. Can't be at 3 a.m. this morning. I'm not allowed to consume anything past midnight.
True, smart.
And anyway, so that's a whole thing, and that's just Dragon Ball, because this dude has been putting in solid work for, you know, the better part of 4 decades. I don't know a lot about Dr. Slump other than he threw a Raleigh into some of those filler Dragon Ball Super episodes. And I don't know if this is an unpopular opinion or not, but I think the filler episodes of Dragon Ball Super are better than the actual episodes, which do actually end a filler episode is not right. The slice of life episodes, the in between story arc episode stuffs, because there's that one. There's the part, like the thing where they're playing baseball, and
the baseball game is fantastic. Oh, I forgot my tractor.
And just, yeah,
Goku doing a solid for Mr. Satan.
Oh gosh, and also Toriyama being very self aware and going, I'm going to do that thing where Yamcha dies, but he's going to be catching a baseball and everyone's going to catch it. And it's going to be really funny. And it was.
Terrific. Oh, yeah. I will tolerate no hate on Super. It's plenty fun. Yeah, I didn't realize that's where she was from.
Except for the end that Jiren fight. It took way too long. It wasn't Frieza-like in its proportions of taking too long, but like I was eventually going like, somebody throw a pie already.
Yeah, I gotta rewatch that one. And the last episode is very good when the conclusion of the fight is awesome. But yeah, it might go a little long.
But that was the only part that I remember feeling like that.
I like that. I like the tournament.
Give it the Kai.
The high stakes maintained.
Give it the Kai treatment and clean up a little bit of that fluff and. I like
that I saw that's Adult Swim or Toonami's. I think that's Toonami's going to run a. We're going to honor the man by playing an abbreviated version of his works.
Technically speaking, the actual version of his work is an extended version of his work. Dragon Ball Z Kai.
That's the honor.
Dragon Ball Z Kai is honored by getting rid of all the fluff.
We fixed it for you.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. Like watching Dragon Ball Z Kai is so much more efficient, which you don't think
they lose so much. I feel like you can only watch that if you'd already seen it. Otherwise, like everything, they condense the time that it feels like, to a point where like it makes everything just like, oh my God, it's like again, this never stops. It's like one long week, it feels like, the way they speed through everything. And it doesn't, I don't know. Sometimes you got to let things breathe, and they don't let things breathe at all.
Oh, come on. Every once in a while, we flash back to see what Bulma's doing. Listen,
it has its moments where it's useful, and like in some of the fights and stuff, like it's very, it helps the Frieza fight enormously. I did a regular rewatch, and I got stuck on Frieza fight because it's just, I kept falling asleep. Every episode, I'd fall asleep two or three times trying to get through it. So
yeah,
took a while.
It's I'm powered up. Now you're powered up. This you got 5 minutes until this planet explodes. Hey, what's Bulma doing? I hope everyone's
frog.
Okay.
That dang frog again.
I picked up on the Android thing, and you know, spent a day at work having it run, and now like we're in the Cell games.
Oh God, Cell games.
I love Mr. Satan.
Love Cell. Love Mr. Satan as well in the Cell games.
Oh gosh, because he's also I love that voice actor. It's like, okay, you're gonna play this guy, Mr. Satan. Great, I already have an idea of how I want to do his voice. Borderlands is like, hey, we're gonna do this character. Does he have Mr. at the beginning of his name? Yes, actually. Sign me up.
I already know how I want to play this character.
Oh, gosh. More explosions. But, yeah, it's... And the thing is, like, I don't think you have Mr. Torque without Mr. Satan. I don't think it works. Like, I feel like that is a very deliberate choice for a voice actor. And a very deliberate choice for a character. It's not the same thing as Mr. Satan, because Mr. Satan's, you know, a grifting coward at heart, but the bravado, the spirit of the bravado is the same.
He is genuinely tough, though. He is the toughest man on earth. Yeah. Notwithstanding, you know, everybody Krillin and above.
He got through 14 out of those 15 bricks that he laid out. and he didn't even wince when his hand was hurting real bad. Yeah. Or when Cell threw him into that mountain immediately afterwards.
he shook that off.
But I think I like that character trope of everyone is just so like thoroughly bamboozled by this guy, and just everyone finds him endearing, and just I like Mr. Satan. He's a fun character.
Yeah. Not sure how he's endearing, but they find him endearing somehow.
Yeah, that's
it remains a mystery.
It's they're so like under the spell that they're all completely willing to look the complete other way about like kind of belly aching about everything. But you know, someone else who does not have that is, you know, Yamcha, who's just belly aching about it. God, he's such a coward.
He is. He had some bad experiences, but yeah. He is pretty useless, though. So maybe he just knows.
It just makes me mad.
He doesn't have a place here.
No, it's why Bulma kicked him to the curb.
Mm-hmm.
Because Vegeta ain't...
Guy with a real man.
Yeah, Vegeta's not constantly crying about, like, oh, we're not strong enough to beat him.
He's got his own thing going on.
Yeah, I think he had a better place, but see, look, if Toriyama wanted to be like, okay, he doesn't really have a place in this thing, like he's outclassed by all these other people, and you sort of start to see that as like everyone except for, you know, the Saiyans are like starting to slowly, like, we're phasing them out as threats or whatever. Piccolo holds on for a really long time. But like Tien goes, you know, like he realizes where he's like, I'm going to come to help support you guys. Like I am too outclassed by this guy. All right. Yeah. And he already like in Cell's second form or whatever, like pinned him down long enough to,
yeah,
you know, do whatever. But then Krillin had to training. Krillin had to simp for Android 18. So it's fine. Man. He had to lay down that Riz. It's the only thing he could do. I can't destroy you, baby. I'm in love with you.
I've seen that word like 3 times in the past couple of days. I have no idea what it is.
Short for charisma.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a Rizzler though, and a sauce god. This is a funny thing about the outfits that everyone wears in Dragon Ball Z. If you look at Akira Toriyama, there's not a lot of pictures of the guy, but he dresses the same way. So it's like it's weird that he draws these characters that just like, I feel like everyone has really cool fashion sense in that show, even if it's like outlandish or flamboyant, i.e. Vegeta in the yellow pants and the pink shirt or whatever.
Oh, Batman.
Yeah, Batman. But... Or I love when Piccolo's wearing street clothes. This is the greatest.
Let's go drive cars.
But you find pictures of Akira Toriyama. He's wearing those same jackets. Those
so funny.
You know the hats, the track suits.
Oh really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's great. He did a bunch of other work. I was about to say stuff that he did that wasn't Dragon Ball, and then started talking about Dragon Ball again. But he he's done all the character design for Dragon Quest.
See, that's like the one thing that keeps pulling me to that game is because like that art style is so good and inviting, but then I haven't been able to get into one of the games. Oh well, but I keep trying because I see those covers and they look fun. They make me happy.
I've been having a fine time with Dragon Quest XI. Just remember, Persona 5 is equally the same amount of exact kind of game as Dragon Quest. It just looks flashier. The menus are a little simpler to follow. Ooh. But
pew 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 pew.
But
everything's dancing around my screen. I'm just drinking potions.
But Dragon Quest has been praised as a series of, you know, being like consistently very good. I'm playing 11 right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's as far as my like history of playing Dragon Quest, like 3 on the NES. That one's my favorite one out of those. Because that one was big. It introduced character classes.
You said 3?
Yeah. Which is probably why they're, you know, remaking that one. They're giving it the Octopath Traveler treatment, and the screenshots of it so far look very good.
Mm.
But that one's good. You know, it introduced some of the things that they still use today. You know, the Iron Bank, and it's not called the Iron Bank, but they introduced the bank because they're like, hey, you know, it'd be nice if you didn't lose half of your gold when you died. Well, maybe we just not make people lose half their gold when they die. No. We can't reward being bad at the game.
You can't go light on these. You can't go soft on these people.
No.
You gotta grind them to dust.
That's right. Even Yakuza, like a dragon, even realized that. Like, no. Like, listen, we're already babying them with autosaves and everything, and pretty much it's impossible to die in a battle, but if you figure out a way to do it, we will take half of your money.
Oh, I did that when I first walked, but before I realized that there's like threat levels, and I walked into some like level 20s as a 8 or something, and I couldn't escape fast enough. Well, first I just fought them because I didn't realize their level, and then I couldn't escape fast enough. I got kicked in the head a few times. Yeah, I lost half my money.
And again, to speak of the extent of the influence, it's like that's Dragon Quest is huger than, you know, any of us could possibly imagine in Japan. So
yeah,
you have that bit of where this, you know, this franchise that had traditionally not been making RPGs decided to make an RPG, and then they're like, we are overtly going to pay homage to Dragon Quest in this stuff. And they do other stuff, like with the Tsujimon and
Tsujimon.
Yeah, there's
that
a
game's
lot.
Funny. Yeah. That's just a fun game.
Yeah, I love Like a Dragon. It's great. But the Dragon Quest games are Dragon Quest XI's great. Like I think the only reason that I fell off on it on the first play, something else must have come out. But also, I was just really annoyed because, you know, the war crimes denier who composed all the music for the game, R.I.P. P standing for piss.
Got him.
I mean, he. Listen, it's a hard sell, but I'm willing to double up on it again. Listen, if you're not convinced that denial of war crimes is a bad thing, just, you don't even have to read the book. Just read about the Nanking Massacre and it will make your blood curdle. And then, you know, then you'll go like, oh yeah, no, you have to be a very bad person to like not reconcile, like it's so bad. It's very, very bad. Like it was like the Nazis are like, dang, slow down. Like it was bad.
Yeah, no, that was a bad one.
Well, that's been the war crime denial segment of our podcast. But those games are Journey of the Cursed King, the one that came out on PS2. That one was really, really great too. The games have great music. They have that great visual style. Like as soon as it was good after it came out on the newer gen consoles, because you really got to see okay, like the full breadth of the character design that Toriyama did for all of these. Yeah, for all of these games, whereas like you get to see it a little bit in the enemy design of, actually you only get to see it in the enemy design of the earlier games, because when they render the enemies or whatever, like, you know, you've got little one by one square sprites or whatever, but then you go into a battle screen and it's like, okay, you get to see some of these classic things that he's made that have been endured for many, many years. That's good. That's
the humble slime.
Yeah, the slime, man. he's just a silly little guy. Yuji Horii, or whoever it was, Yuji Horii wrote the... Did he write Chrono Trigger, or did he... I can remember.
I'm not sure.
Anyway, the guy's original thing for the slime was
Yuji Horii did write Chrono Trigger. How do you know that? That's crazy.
Cause Big Three, man.
Madman.
Big Three. It was Yuji Horii and Akira Toriyama and the other guy that's not Buzz Aldrin or is it John Campbell? Glenn Campbell? One of those.
Yeah, Glenn Campbell. That's the one.
Yeah, Yuji Horii. Yeah, okay. His original design for the slime was sort of, it looked more like a pile of slime. And Hamish Steele, famed, he's an animator. He did a Dead End Paranormal Park. Posted about it, and he was like,
Finn just watched that.
Yeah. There's never been a more important glow-up in history than the sketch Yuji Horii gave Akira Toriyama for Slimes and Dragon Quest versus what Toriyama sent back. And so you get something that basically looks like a rag that was thrown on the ground, and then and Toriyama's like, how about this? And then he's like, yeah, let's run it. Why not?
History.
Yeah. And lest we forget, you know, the frickin' one of the greatest games of all time, Chrono Trigger.
Yep, that was, and that was part of the draw to that one too. It's like I went to go get Earthbound, and they didn't have Earthbound, and then you just, you know, you scan the shelves, see what looked interesting, and the art on that one looked cool. I think I'd seen it in a GamePro or something that the reviews were good, so took a flyer on Chrono Trigger, and that was my like first JRPG I fully played.
Oh man, what a almost a bad experience when you think about it, because it's like,
yeah.
what else holds up in comparison? Final Fantasy VI, which is,
yeah,
I mean,
right, that was the thing that was coming for me soon thereafter. I had seen my friends play Final Fantasy IV. I never played it though, like I just watched them play it, and it looked hard, so I was surprised that it was that Chrono Trigger was much more approachable and easier to play. Totally different, but same style. It's awesome. Oh, it's the best.
Yeah, that game had such a good scenario too. I mean, you can't go wrong with time travel.
Oh yes, you can. As is proven by just about everything that introduces time travel. So that's the testament. They made it work. And part of it is the excellent characters designed by Toriyama. Like, everybody in that game just, like, looks cool. And, well, you want to be their friends, man. The poor Toad.
Yeah, it's... I like Luca. I like Luca's Luca. Cool. She looks really cool. Toriyama's really good at drawing machines. That's why Robo also looks really cool. Then you have to fight all those evil robots.
Oh, that's the worst part. Oh god, the evil robos.
Oh, the evil robos.
Tragic.
But then he's also got a girl robo. You know, she's a girl because she's pink. Pink robot. She's a gold robot. I like you. I like you too, dog.
The robots continue to uphold gender normatives. A flawed understanding of how human society should function.
But then you got like Isla.
I enjoyed her more like a few times through. Yeah, she's just cool cave lady.
Cool cave lady.
Just wild.
Yeah.
She drinks good soup. Then drinks soup good.
Yes, soup. I'm sure of it. Yes.
Those are really big bowls. I hope it's soup.
Let's drink quote unquote soup and then do the Unga Bunga last night and then wake up and go, oh, had too much soup. Can't get out of bed. I got soup belly bad. But I liked Isla too.
Because
everyone's like, Isla's the chief. I don't know what to do without the chief. Keto sucks without Isla. Oh, he's trying, but he needs Isla back. Isla power bottom. Now, as I understand, cool. A power bomb is capable of receiving an enormous amount of power. Actually, you got that all backwards. The power bottom is generating all the power. Hey, where'd that guy go? twink reversal. I think you get a really weird conversation. So I almost would like to see when the guy gets up and leaves. Oh yeah, Matt. Magus.
Yeah, Magus.
He's a cool vampire.
I think that's
guy.
About as far as I got the first rental, as I got up to Magus. I'm like, oh, I gotta buy this game.
Yeah.
Or I think I just rented it again.
That game is cool, and also you get to mess around with stuff in the past and then, you know, do stuff, you know, it affects the future, and then
planning the harvest, terraforming the desert into a forest was very cool.
Yeah, that
going back in time, except to leave your robot buddy to do all the hard work, kind of cruel, poor Robo.
For you, only several minutes elapsed. But for me, 200 years elapsed. But also because I'm a robot, that 200 years seemed like an eternity.
Even if by like, okay, he perceives time differently, being a robot and all, so it doesn't bother him too much, the passage of such a great time. But the fact that you get there and he's just like a rusted out bucket of statue, then it's like, that doesn't seem like he met a good end.
Yeah, well, I mean, you'd probably be all rusted up and crusty after 200 years of planting a forest in a desert, just tilling. I'm gonna get to work.
Saving the forest.
Yeah, just man, guy, just a lot of good memories.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's we like all the same things, which is you know these are things that drew us together.
Mm-hmm. These are.
Yeah, well, you know, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for those things. I don't think.
No, probably. I mean, yeah, I think Dragon Ball Z was one of the first things.
Yeah, Dragon Ball for sure, because that's one of those things, especially for me, where it's like, I have this great thing and I have no one to share it with, and then I was like, have you ever heard of this? And it's like. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know about that too? And then, like, I mean, that's how, you know, that's. If we don't have anything else to say, I'll quote a tweet that I saw that pretty much is a perfect encapsulation of this entire conversation. And it's that. Let me, sorry. I had it pulled up and I had to do something. Now I got to pull it back up. I scroll through the many, many DBZ posts I've been making.
Speaking of relying on the internet.
Yeah. In memory of Toriyama's passing, I propose we honor him by getting rid of the time change, replace it with the time freeze. That's not the one I was looking for.
I like that one.
This is a quote from Danny Araya at Danny Araya. He says, Akira Toriyama is single-handedly responsible for millions of people becoming, 1, artists, 2, weightlifters, 3, martial artists, 4, friends. And I don't think I've heard any truer sentiment than that.
That's pretty great, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. So, I think we can, you know, leave it off here. It's pretty good.
I think that's a good point.
To check out all the other wonderful podcasts of the Jabroni U Podcast Network, follow the Jabroni University Podcast Network on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Jabroni U and at JabroniU.com. There you can follow the exploits of the Allen Club and Why Do We Ever Meet, tune into Biff Radio, listen to all new hip-hop on Flow and Tell, and draft pop culture on our flagship show, The Draft Podcast. Again, your gateway to follow all of these wonderful podcasts is JabroniU.com. Remember to give all the podcasts a 5-star rating and to like, retweet, and subscribe, or else... I don't know. Or else your favorite wrestler is joining House of Torture. Something.
Perfect.
Well, we got a couple of round 2 matches that have already taken place. So you know, go watch them if you haven't already.
So I'm told. Apparently, I watched Yoshihashi and Sonata wrestle, and it just.
So yeah,
as I knew, I think I caught myself falling into the black hole. Like, no, I'm getting sucked in. Nothing is happening. Is going to be in my brain after 5 minutes after this match is over.
So
and it's just gone.
Yes. Today, showtime wise, is Wednesday. So on the 11th, which was Monday, you've got the Dragon George Memorial bracket. So that's, you got Yoshihashi and Sonata and Shota and Yano. Is this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? We're in the semi. The big eight's coming after this round. And then yesterday.
Sweet 16.
Yesterday we had the Finley Tongaloa match where he almost certainly, beats Tongaloa. And Chase Owens is taking on Hirooki Goto. And then today. Evil's taking on Hikuleo. And Shingo is taking on Gabe Kidd. That'll be a good one. I won't be surprised if that's not the... No, that should be the main event. Even though... I feel like Evil's a bit higher in the pecking order.
No.
But Shingo and Gabe Kidd is going to be the better
match. No, that match is going to be so much better. That match is... Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to that.
I'm just saying one. In terms of, you know, who can... I'm just talking about the pecking order. I'm not talking about matches.
Shingo
and Kidd. That one's going to be good. Shingo. And then tomorrow, it's going to be Tsuji and ELP and Ren Narita and Zack Sabre Jr. So
I'm curious to see Zack and Ren.
Yeah, that'll...
I wonder... Yeah. Zack could take... This could be an early Zack exit. That'd be sad. But nothing's off the table with House of Torture.
Yeah. Except for Ren Narita being Zack Sabre Jr. I don't think that's going to happen.
But if it's by shenanigans, it doesn't count.
That's fine to happen with Tai Chi, but with everyone, with everyone general, or, you know, at least America-wise, everyone's general consensus is it's time for Zack Sabre Jr. to wear the big boy belt.
Yeah.
It's...
He can get there. He can get there another way. They gotta have other matches at other points.
And also, just from historically, the way New Japan does stuff is like the whole point is eventually, you tried and tried and tried and tried and couldn't get your win over this guy, and then you still didn't beat Okada for the belt anyway.
And now you never can. And now he's an enforcer for Matt and Nick Jackson as the EVPs. Have you seen any of this?
I have seen them tooling around in the backstage area and asking it's like what's the first thing you're gonna do Okada? He's like, we're gonna buy a car. Oh cool, what are you gonna get? He's like, I'm gonna get a Kia. They're like, a Kia? He's like, no, a Ferrari.
That's good.
That's great.
Yeah, you know? I like him coming out as a heel. I think that's fine.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
A good start.
No, listen,
we were liking the most about him at the end.
Yeah, we haven't been blessed with Okada being in a heel, and it seems like it would be so natural to him. And usually most wrestlers will tell you, like, the best heels are just the nicest guys.
I wish it wasn't with the Bucks though. Like whatever, I'm not sure what it is they're going for with this authority figure thing. But like they are not convincing. It just seems like the Young Bucks wearing costumes. It's not working.
Yeah,
Okada will distract me for a little while.
Yeah, and that's fine. Ultimately, it's just been too much inside pull for me.
I don't even mind that because it's a good, like, there's so many ways to lean into the story and do it in a way that everybody doesn't have to be like a backstage drama queen knowing all the stories thing. Like you could make that just a good story to pull people into. And they missed that opportunity since the original brawl and everything got all sideways. So like, not surprising that they didn't do it, but it's right there. So they're picking up on parts of it, but they're not doing a very good job with what seems like a slam dunk. Because, like, I've tried and true. The authority angle, like, it works for the most part. You don't have to be, like, a genius to knock it out. I don't know. Just a little disappointed.
You just have to be ruthless enough to allegedly defecate on someone's head.
That was Vince McMahon. Now you're disparaging the character of Mr. McMahon at this point. Because I don't think he would do that.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Okada is like you said, it's something to take your focus off of, you know, all the stuff. Which is, you know, I would need that for sure. Okada's there, And now, and then, God, Okada and Will Ospreay are there.
I know, it's crazy.
Like, I also think that's funny because someone from New Japan, I can't remember who, but essentially is like, I thought you were leaving to leave for good, and now you're like, you're leaving with to go to a place that already works with this place. Like, doesn't make any sense. I don't know. Now he's like, I'm sure it's not gonna happen. But then also, like, if you're Tony Khan and you just bought like the two new best action figures,
mm-hmm.
like,
yeah,
how long? And you know, your mom is like, listen, play nice with those things and don't immediately mess them up straight away mm-hmm. by crashing them into one another. How long is Tony Khan gonna be able to hold himself back from doing that?
Oh God, like two months, 3 months tops.
Yeah.
As soon as they get done with whatever, because that's as far out as he's gone probably. Like as soon as they get done with whatever their first fight is going to be, so Bryan Danielson in the Ospreay side, whoever for Okada at this point, then immediately after that, like, I don't know what else to do with them. I might as well smash them into each other.
Yeah, that is kind of the thing, because who can Okada even face? I mean, Okada can face anyone over there. That's fine. Right. Like, he can have a good match with anyone. And I mean, I guess it helps
yeah,
to have.
What do you want to see? Exactly.
I guess it helps to have a, you know, like. I don't think we had this problem with The Rock in the 90s where it's like, okay, he's just every episode, he's literally barreling through everyone on the roster. And
right. Like, that's fine for, like, you can do that.
Like eventually you're like, I want to see The Rock and Stone Cold, like, battle each other. Mm-hmm. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, Okada and Ospreay at, you know, Wembley Stadium or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I've seen that. That's not novel at this point. So,
But
you know what's gonna be a cool possibility if whenever he comes back, MJF and Okada.
Yeah.
Well, I hadn't thought about that one yet up until just then. That's, yeah. I like the sound of that.
There's no shortage of good matches, but mm-hmm. if Tony Khan knows his history even a little, and we all know that he does because he's a savant, yeah. you know, you're just gonna want to keep them away from each other. Got to, hmm. you know,
he's not going to
until it's time to bring them together. And in which case it's just like, look, you know, you're going to bring them together, keep them separated until you organically work them together into a thing. And then, mm-hmm. you know, work their way out. It's just like, sometimes it just feels like people don't book things logically anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That seems to be the trouble over there.
However, it doesn't make any difference to us because we are officially in the echelon of people who can go, well, I've already seen everything that I've already seen it in Japan. Like, it's not exciting to me.
we're the best kind of people now.
gosh. I mean,
you're going to have to be careful about that.
It'll be good. Don't make them fight each other on TV unless it's in a tag match.
Mm-mm. That's not happening.
And that, you know, that's the other bad thing, you know, if I've come to understand this correctly. And I'll preface this by saying I don't watch enough AEW to, you know, to not make this totally sound like I'm just, you know, leveling an accusation with no evidence, which is exactly what I'm doing.
Level but away.
To my understanding, they're bad about giving away their matches before... You know, before their actual event or whatever.
Does that mean like results getting out?
No, like you're about to have this pay per view with them. Why are they facing each other now before this pay per view?
Oh, I mean that happened that really weird time with Punk and Moxley, where that the weird title change in like a 70-second squash match.
Okay, but yeah, let's just chalk that up to like. That he eventually turned into problems, so whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, he also probably, like, injured him. I, it's
yeah, it was part. It was part of bad timing and circumstances as well. When who knows what was going on?
Yeah. Just disregard but what I said. Just keep them apart until it's time to bring them together. That's all I ask.
Yeah, for sure. It's very clear. Hopefully
and also, you know, like I might watch it. I've already seen it.
Mm.
It's.
I saw it a few times in Japan.
Yeah, you know, you can put them together in the WrestleMania ring all you want to. I've seen it already.
Exactly.
Shinsuke and AJ. It was an okay match.
It's better than the G1.
I saw it in Japan, so I'm better than you. Okay, I think that's it. You got anything else, Bonesaw?
No, I'm plum out.
All right, well, rest in peace to the legend, and I'm Daniel Salorzno. Bonesaw, say goodnight to the lovely people.
Good night.